specifically at what the resurrection means for us. What difference does it make to us today? And for some of you, this will be the first time you've heard this. For some of you, it will be the 50th or 60th time that you've heard this. But it's still crucial for us to live out that truth. Because so often we can forget that the resurrection makes a massive difference to us at this moment, this day, and in our lives. And I want us to celebrate that truth today. Well, Paul knew the resurrection was important. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 today. So I'd ask you to turn to this in your Bibles, please. Page 1156 of the Blue Bibles here. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to pick out some verses that are going to come up on the screen for us. But I want you to have God's word open so you check that what I'm saying is actually from God's word. Page 1156, 1 Corinthians 15. And we're just going to look at a few verses from this just in our short time together this morning. This is where Paul gives his most complete covering of the resurrection in the Bible. He explains its importance, its implications, and it builds to the end of verse 58 where it says, therefore, how should we then live? And if we look at verse 58, we'll look at this at the end, but therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We have been saved from something to something and for something. I want us to be encouraged by that today. But here's the big idea. The tomb is empty, therefore your life doesn't need to be. The tomb is empty, so your life doesn't need to be. Praise God indeed. And to get there, Paul takes us on a journey through 1 Corinthians 15. It's a great passage. I'm just going to pick up three things, three really simple things. The resurrection of Jesus is true. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees ours. And the resurrection of Jesus calls us to labor for the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. It guarantees ours. And he calls us to labor for the Lord in the meantime. So first of all, the resurrection of Jesus is true. Now, the Barna Group is a Christian research organization that provides data and insights into the trends of the Christian faith and culture and ministry today. And they did a poll last year, and they found that one in four Christians do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What? There we go, as Atkins would say. Thank you. 25% of British Christians do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, Paul would put it this way. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then you are not a Christian. Our faith stands and falls on whether Jesus did really die and did rise again. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. So it's on the screen, but also look in your Bibles. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, in verse 17, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Paul wants us to be assured that Christ has been raised. He wants us to have confidence. He doesn't want us to have blind faith. He wants us to have confidence and a faith that is based on historical truth. This is not a mystical feeling, but a confidence that this has actually happened. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 8 now, where Paul gives an apologetic. He gives a defense for why the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is true. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, that's Peter, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as the one ultimately born, he appeared also to me. And timely born, he appeared also to me. Paul gives two reasons. Two reasons to believe in the historical account of the resurrection. Firstly, because it's in accordance with the scriptures. Christ was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus spoke about it multiple times with his disciples, about his death and his resurrection. But they didn't have the gospels at this point. They hadn't been written. But Paul's writing to the Corinthians saying, look at the Old Testament. It speaks about it. And it's amazing that hundreds of years before Jesus even came on the scene, scriptures like Psalm 16, Isaiah 53, talk about his death and resurrection. In fact, Peter quotes Psalm 16 in his on the day of Pentecost. He says that David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ. The scriptures tell us it. They're true. This is not some fanciful fantasy. The scriptures are real. The scriptures are God's word for us. And we have the truth in here, guys. The resurrection is true. Christ did rise again. But also, he gives another reason for the assurance of Christ's resurrection. He says, all eyewitness testimonies. Jesus didn't leave us without credible witnesses. He had hundreds of them that saw him at the same time. Now, if in our judicial system today, if you have, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to look to George, maybe this is true or not true, but if you have two or three credible eyewitnesses to a crime, you'd have a strong case. Is that right? Would you agree? Thank you. But if you had 10, you'd have an even stronger case. Is that right, George? If you had 500, you'd have a slam dunk, as you might call it. And what Paul's doing here, he's saying, look, you can still go and talk to them today. Most of them are still here. Go and talk to them. Ask them. If you don't believe me, ask them. But then this leads on to another important discovery that Christ's resurrection guarantees ours. That's why we celebrate. Paul says in verse 20 to 23, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man comes also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam that all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. This is the hope of the New Testament, the scriptures that we have today as well. Hope is not for our best life now. It is not for the big payoff in the here and now, but also what comes later. And the New Testament affirms our hope that we will receive from the resurrection of the dead church. And to explain, look at, he gives another agricultural metaphor here to show the guarantee of the hope that we have. The first fruits of the first crops that a farmer gathers from the harvest. These fruits are the foretaste of the anticipation of the full harvest that will come. The first fruits is just a taste of what is to come. The first fruits are a sure sign of the full harvest that is to come. Christ has been raised as the first fruits. We will be raised in anticipation of the full harvest that is to come. That is us. Those that believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. Death came through Adam. Every person was sentenced to death because of Adam. And now, the resurrection of the dead means that anyone that has faith in Jesus has the guarantee that every person belongs to Christ and the promise of an eternal life. Now, I know that many of us here would have known someone that has been close to us that has passed away. And we know that death is an enemy, and it's a terrible, terrible enemy. Ray Orton says it this way. He says, death offended Jesus profoundly. He didn't accept it as part of life. He hated it, he opposed it, and he defeated it. So when the New Testament constantly pushes us not to deny the hope that there's hope beyond it. There's hope beyond this life. Paul says in verses 25 to 26 that he will put the final enemy of death under his feet by abolishing it. And so in the meantime, he says in Romans 12, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, church. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Or as Peter puts it, he talks about the dazzling inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. In this you shall rejoice, though now you go through many fiery trials. And I think that I know that my joy is so fickle sometimes. My joy is so fickle, so up and down, so led by circumstances, because my joy isn't always in the hope that is to come. Put your hope in the things to come. That's my encouragement to you today, church. Put your hope in the things that is to come. Put your hope, put your joy in hope, the hope of the sure things to come. Paul goes so far as to say that if we have only hoped in Christ for the payoff in this life, we are fools, in verse 19 he says. Listen to what he says in verses 30 to 32. He says, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you." Sorry, let me say this again. "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if I, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised? That is, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Do you hear what Paul's saying here? Being a Christian doesn't make life easier in this world. It makes it harder. So if the dead aren't raised, let's live as though this world is our best shot at happiness. Let's live for it now. But Christ has been raised, and so will we too. That is an assurance. And this is why he says, "O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." For all of those that believe in Jesus, that he has paid the penalty for our sin, he lived the perfect life, that he took the cost that we deserve, death, for our rebellion against our Maker. And yet he comes and lovingly sacrifices his own life for our good, so that we do not have to pay that cost. But it's been paid for us. All we have to do is have faith. Faith that Jesus did come and it is true that he rose again. Faith that that power that he, when he broke the chain of death, the power of death over us, we too have the guarantee of eternal life. That is our faith, church. That is what we believe. That is what we celebrate every week, every day, but especially today. And then finally, the resurrection of Jesus excites us to labor for the Lord. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our lives are full because he has saved us to do something in the here and now for him, to labor for him, not in vain. We have a point, we have a purpose." And the passage of scripture that we hold dear to here at Oikos Church is that we have been made to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We have been saved for a great purpose in the here and now. We are to go and make disciples. God saves them, but we are to go and tell. It is God who saves, but we are to go and tell. We are his messengers. We do not labor in vain. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to teach one another to obey the truth of the gospel that he has commanded us. And he doesn't leave us. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is in every single believer. The tomb is empty. Our lives do not need to be. The resurrection of Christ Jesus is true. The resurrection of Christ Jesus guarantees ours. And the resurrection of Christ Jesus calls us to labor for the Lord, church. As you go out from this place today, we go out victorious. Death has been defeated. It is not the end for us. It is just the beginning. And in the here and now, we have a great work to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with all those around us, church. Amen. Guys, we are going to stand together. We're going to sing that Christ has risen from the dead. We're going to proclaim it loud. And we're going to have a time of taking communion together. And we'll sing some more. And then children, because this is a party day. This is not a somber occasion. This is joyous. Children and then the adults, we've got some party poppers. We are going to go wild. And we're going to party like it's 1999. So on our feet, guys.